If I'd been out till 2:45, would you lock the door? Will you still need me? Will you still feed me when I'm 64?
This is Dr. Rob Stahl. What should you expect at your age? The answer is a lot, and that's what we're here to explain.
All right, you've had time to think about it. What's been your most embarrassing moment?
How about when I met my husband, I threw up on him.
Waking up and not knowing where I was.
When my pants fell down.
When I caught a big wave and came to the shore this once, I lost my whole bathing suit.
Went to my wife's house the weekend we were getting married to meet all her in-laws who I'd never met before. Went in to meet them and they introduced me to this black-haired woman that I obviously assumed that I'd never met before. They introduced her to me. I said, hello, I'm Mark, blah, blah, blah. Well, it turns out it was actually my wife dressed in a black wig, and I didn't, or my wife-to-be dressed in a black wig, and I couldn't recognize her.
I thanked the wrong guy for flowers.
That was embarrassing.
Oh, I thought, yeah.
Idiot.
They didn't know about each other until then.
It was when I got caught pouring some dressing from my salad bowl back into the general mix of the salad bar one time, which I didn't like it.
All right, spring break in high school. I went into the room to take a shower, and my buddies let all these women into the room while I was in there, and I came out with nothing on. They're all sitting in there laughing.
Well, one day a friend of mine and myself bumped into a mutual friend of ours, a female. I noticed that she was a little bit on the heavy side. I decided that she was pregnant, and I asked her if she was pregnant, and she said no. Very embarrassing situation, and the conversation just continued as if nothing had happened.
Well, so what do you make of that? It just in a minute or two, what's the punchline of this embarrassment exercise?
Well, it actually puts a person in a very vulnerable position when they're talking about their most embarrassing moments in their life. And when I was doing the exercise with the students and also with the employees, the prospective employees, I wanted them to feel vulnerable and experience what it meant to feel vulnerable amongst strangers and to relate that to the people that they would be caring for so that they would be sensitive to the vulnerability of the people that were coming into the nursing home because they were going to experience all of those things, from having an accident in their pants to not hearing, would you like a cup of tea? No, I don't want to plant the tree.
Not remembering. Not recognizing are things that people with dementia, Alzheimer's disease experience. So the exercise was to bring out, I think, what things that are embarrassing as youngsters.
Yes.
Older people experience that, and even more frequently. And is that not also embarrassing for them? And does it keep them from doing the things that they want to do, like incontinence? I have many patients that don't go to church, that don't socialize because they're afraid of being incontinent.
That's correct. And I think that if we're sensitive to that and kind of normalize that that does happen and it's part of life, we can help with it and ease that fear that they have, that it makes the caregiver a better person and it makes the person being cared for more comfortable and experiencing life and more joyfully.
And by the way, the incontinence issue is a big shameful experience for people, and many don't even seek help for it because it's so shameful, and there are a lot of things that can be done.
Many, many things, yes.
That has always stuck with me. I've told numerous people over the years the embarrassing moment exercise, asking the question, and then the punchline, and I think it's something for everyone to remember.
Well, thank you.
Now let's run something else about cranky old people.
Oh, there aren't any,
no,
I'm sure.
Of course not. Here we go.
I'm here with my daughter, Lauren, at the Original Pancake House. So what do you think about older people, Lauren?
I think old people are very nice, and I like helping them. Sometimes they can get a little cranky, but it doesn't bother me.
Why do you think they're cranky, Lauren?
Maybe because sometimes they're going through surgery, like with a pacemaker, and sometimes they don't have a husband, and they see other people with their husband, and they get mad or they get sad.
So they might be lonely, or they might have things on their mind. That's the kind of thing you're talking about, why older people might be cranky?
Yes.
Anything else you want to say?
Well, one of my grandmas, she isn't very old, but she's very fun to be with. She plays tennis. She lives in Florida. and she sometimes plays basketball with me. And my other grandma, she's older, but she can't do all that stuff, but she still plays cards and she does everything for me.
What kind of things do you do with that grandma, and what do you call her?
I call her Bubby, and I play cards with her. Whenever I go there, she lets me watch TV, and I always feel comfortable at her house when I'm there.
Do you talk to her on the phone?
Yes, a lot.
Do you go out to restaurants with her?
Yeah, she takes me to many places.
Like where?
Sometimes, if I wanted to go to, like, a crafty place, she might take me there, and I go to the beauty shop with her, and it's fun.
What types of food do you enjoy the most?
Chicken wings, french fries, and especially her chicken soup.
Well, thank you. That was very nice. You said some beautiful things about both your grandmas.
Well, we'll talk about that later on. You can think about what comments. That was my beautiful little daughter, Lauren, and we had a nice breakfast and a nice conversation. We do have a caller.
Yes, you're on the air, live.
Hello, Dr. Stowe.
Hi, I recognize this voice.
You do?
That's one of the grandmas, I think.
Oh, you've been listening to it for 47 years, right?
That's right. What can I do for you, Mom? Thanks for calling.
Okay, this is my problem with a sciatic nerve. I don't have it when I walk, and I don't have it when I exercise. But when I drive my car, it's down my right leg, and the pain shoots down all the way into my calf. And I wonder if there's any exercises or anything that could be done for it.
Well, there certainly are things that could be done for it. Tell me a little more about how long you've had the problem.
I'd say about 2-3 months.
How come you haven't told me about it sooner, Mom?
Well, because I don't like to bother you. And it only really affects me when I'm driving, and it takes me about a half an hour to get home from work. And it is my right leg, and I go on the highway, and if it's stop and go and stop and go, it affects my leg even more so.
Now, is there anything you do that makes it feel better?
Yeah, when I get out of the car and I start walking around, and it seems to affect me when I'm like in a cramped position. Like when you're driving, your leg is in, you know, it's either on the brake or the brake or the gas, and it's straight out, and you know, you're in one position basically. But when you're standing and walking, you know, you're exercising, so it doesn't bother me then. So is there anything that could be done for it? Because, you know, Dad and I like to take drives. We like to come up to you guys, and I like to help him out with the driving.
Right.
And
this is holding you back from doing that.
Yeah, this problem, hold me back.
Well, what you're describing is fairly classical sciatica symptoms, which is a squeezing of a nerve in the lower back that runs down your leg. And the pain can be from your bottom, your rear end, into your upper leg, and then into your calf. And sometimes people even have problems into the foot. And they can even have some muscle weakness into the foot if it affects that part of the nerve. Now, the good thing about this is that usually there is a good chance that you can relieve that discomfort by trying a variety of things. There are several different things that you can try. I do want to mention that there's another problem that causes low back pain and pain into the leg that, unlike what you described, where you have the pain when you're sitting, this pain occurs when people are standing and walking,
right,
and actually gets better when they sit down or bend over, such as when they ride a bicycle or something like that. And that's pain caused by spinal stenosis. So these are two different, very common problems that cause low back pain.
Right.
And it's important to distinguish the two because the approach, there is some overlap to what you can do about it, but there's also some differences that may arise. Now, let's put the ways to approach this into several specific categories. You can use what's called conservative approaches, and you may have tried those. Have you tried putting any ice on there or heat in the area?
No. Uh-uh.
Okay, that's something that could help. That can decrease the inflammation, the swelling that develops around the nerve. Have you tried any medications, like even Tylenol, to help relieve the pain? Or if you don't have problems with ulcers, and are able to tolerate drugs called non-steroidal drugs, NSAIDs, that's like Motrin, ibuprofen, in a low dose. I always start my patients on low doses, 200 milligrams would be the lowest dose.
Right.
Something like that can help decrease the inflammation. From there, I had to have an epidural injection because I had bad back pain, and it wasn't relieved by doing things like that. I also went for physical therapy.
Oh, I see.
And the physical therapy helped. And I would recommend, if you do have persistent pain like this, sciatica pain, to get in and go to a therapist, to go in to a rehab medicine doctor. There's now a specialty called rehabilitation medicine. They're called physiatrists, not psychiatrists, but physiatrists. And that's another type of doctor that can help. Osteopathic doctors, chiropractors, many people go to and get relief from this kind of problem. Then, after that, hopefully this won't develop into anything further, but of course there's surgical ways to deal with chronic severe pain, and there's also stronger pain medications if the problem is really affecting your life. So,
Right now it's affecting my driving.
Okay, well, we don't want it to get worse, and
no.
I think the best thing to start off with would be...
some aspirin.
Try an aspirin.
Yeah.
I would also get a lumbar roll to put in your seat to position your spine better, and that may also help relieve the pressure on the nerve, and might relieve the pain. So
It's not a pain. It's like an ache.
Yeah.
There's a difference between the pain. Pain is shooting and stuff like that, and hurts a lot.
Yeah,
this is like an ache.
Like a throbbing.
Sometimes it feels numb, you know, from it and stuff like that. The foot feels numb when I get it out of the car.
Well,
and stuff like that. That's what it is.
Right.
As opposed to pain. Pain, you would have heard from me a long time ago.
Okay.
You know,
well, I would hope so.
Pain.
I would hope so.
Yeah.
Well, I hope that helped.
Thank you so much, Dr. Stewart.
A website that has some good information is called spine-health.com if you want to look into it more. And, of course, you know who to call if you're still having a problem. Well, good talking to you.
Same here, dear.
Give my regards to Dad.
I will.
Okay.
Bye-bye.
Bye-bye. We have another call. Hello, this is Dr. Stahl.
This is Justin Naylor. I'm Judy's son, and I'd just like to call with... don't have a question, really, but I'd just like to call and voice support for my mom and for what she does.
Well, you know, I'm one of her biggest fans. She's a wonderful lady. She does great things, and I'm sure your kids are wonderful, too, having a lady like her as your mom.
Hi, Justin.
Hi, Mom.
And thanks for calling in. I can hear my wonderful grandchildren in the back. I should tell Dr. Stahl that you and Melissa, your wife, have blessed us with a almost two-year-old, Ruth Beverly, by the way, who is named after her great-grandmother and her grandmother.
Wow.
And you also have another little girl who's just a little bit over a month, and her name is Adderay Judith, named after her great-grandmother and grandmother on the other side.
Well, so, looking at Judy, her chest is kind of swelling just with a little bit of pride now, and her face is beaming, and certainly, you know, kids and grandkids also help people keep going as they get older. Why don't we run the quotation on aging that I played last week, and I never gave the answer.
Okay.
Or the question, and this is Jeopardy style.
Okay.
So
this great American said, "Too many elderly people with small incomes skimp on food at a time when their health requires greater quantity, variety, and balance in their diets."
You're going to hear that famous American now, a short clip of him speaking many years ago.
"And so, my fellow Americans, ask not what your country can do for you. Ask what you can do for your country."
Okay. We have all kinds of things we can talk about.
I was going to just bring up one thing that I've noticed. There is a lot of help for this, and it's sometimes goes unrecognized, and that is depression in the elderly. Ran into it a great deal with people who were grieving losses. And it doesn't have to be a death that you're grieving. It could be loss of many other things. But I think that people need to know the difference between depression and dementia, because one mimics the other, actually, in some cases. And people fear that and need to know that there is help out there for both situations and how to differentiate between the two.
Well, you brought up a very important topic, and treating depression in my practice has resulted in some wonderful results. And it doesn't even need a medication necessarily. I had a patient many years ago who came in, and you could see the depression right on her face when she came in. And I asked her, what are three things that you want in your life right now? And she said, I want someone to talk to. I'd like some male companionship, and this is a 90-year-old woman whose husband had passed away, and I wish someone would give me a big hug. And I examined her, and on her way out, I gave her a big hug. I asked the nurse that was working in the office at the time to come over and give her a hug, and even the head doctor of the clinic came down, ran down the hall. I had never seen her run like that before, and gave her a big hug. And she came back a few weeks later and said she was on cloud nine. So that's the try hugs, not drugs approach to treating depression. Well, I think we're going to start wrapping up the show. This has been wonderful. I'd love to have you back. Maybe you bring your mom next time. That would be fun. I'll see you next week. It's been a pleasure. I've had a great time, and I hope you got something out of this.
Many years from now, will you still be sending me a Valentine? Birthday greetings, bottle of wine.